सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
We'll chant verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Chapter 5, 4 to 8.
Sankhya Yoga Pratak Bhalaha Sankhya Yoga Pratak Bhalaha प्रवदन्ति न पण्डिताः प्रवदन्ति न पण्डिताः एकमप्यास्तितः सम्यक् एवमप्यास्तितः सम्यक् उभयोर्विन्दते फलम् साङ्ख्ययोगौ पृथक् बालाः प्रवदन्ति न पण्डिताः एकमभ्यासितः सम्यक् उभयोर्विन्दते फलम् यत्साङ्ख्यैः प्राप्यते स्थानम् तद्योगैरपि गम्यते एकं साङ्ख्यं च योगं च यः पश्यति स पश्यति यत्साङ्ख्यैः प्राप्यते स्थानम् तद्योगैरपि गम्यते एकं साङ्ख्यं च योगं च यः पश्यति स पश्यति सन्न्यासस्तु महाबाहो दुःखमाप्तुमयोगतः योगयुक्तो मुनिर्ब्रह्म नचिरेनादिगच्छति सन्न्यासस्तु महाबाहो दुःखमाप्तुमयोगतः योगयुक्तो मुनिर्ब्रह्म नचिरेनादिगच्छति योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा विजितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः सर्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा कुर्वन्नपि न लिप्यते योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा विजितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः सर्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा कुर्वन्नपि न लिप्यते।
We'll chant 8 and 9 together.
नैव किञ्चित् करोमीति युक्तो मन्येत तत्त्ववेत् पश्यन् शृण्वन् स्पृशन् जिघ्नन् अश्नन् कच्छन् स्वपन् श्वसन् नैव किञ्चित् करोमीति युक्तो मन्येत तत्त्ववेत् पश्यन् शृण्वन् स्पृशन् जिघ्रन् अश्नन् कच्छन् स्वपन् श्वसन् प्रलपन् विसृजन् गृह्णन् उन्मिषन् निमिषन्नपि इन्द्रियाणीन्द्रियार्थेषु वर्तन्त इति धारयन् प्रलपन् विसृजन् गृह्णन् उन्मिषन् निमिषन्नपि इन्द्रियाणीन्द्रियार्थेषु वर्तन्त इति धारयन्।
Eight and nine are little tongue twisters.
Yeah.
So this fifth chapter entitled as Karma Sanyasi Yoga. I told you the thought flow is, first when Arjuna surrendered, after he realized that he is confused, Lord gave knowledge of Atma, then he gave a gist of Karma Yoga, then he spoke about a person who's realized the self, what is his condition, Siddha Pragna, in the second chapter. Second chapter is the headlines. whatever he wants to say, he has already said. Then in the third chapter, he elaborates on Karma Yoga. Then in the fourth chapter, he talks about Yajna activities, converting all actions into sadhana. With knowledge, you do the actions, as a result of which you attain sannyas. Now in chapter 5, the emphasis is upon sannyas, renunciation, which is a state of mind. And then through sannyas, you will be eligible to do meditation, which is the next chapter, Dhyana Yoga. That's how the thought flow continues. So here in the fifth chapter, Arjuna asked a question. Oh Krishna, you seem to praise renunciation of action, sannyasa, and again yoga, which is karma yoga, path of action. Tell me conclusively which of the two is better. Remember always, whenever any question is asked, you must answer the question coming down to the level of the questioner. You must keep the questioner in mind. So he is asking almost the same question what he asked in the third chapter. Even after Lord Krishna explaining so beautifully, he is still not clear. So he is clarifying once again. He says, oh Krishna, I am not clear. You are praising sannyas also, karma yoga also. What am I supposed to do? What is the basic difference between karma yoga and sannyas? In karma yoga also, there is tyag. But what is the tyag in karma yoga?
The
end result. Karma phala tyaga is karma yoga, not karma tyaga. You cannot renounce the action as long as you have the desires inside you. Just physically dropping the action, mentally you are going to brood over the desire and become a hypocrite. He has already spoken about that. Therefore he says, renouncing the fruit of action, mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Which verse is this? I think all of you attended even the summary, right? So now, mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha is verse number 30 of chapter 3, the blueprint of right action I spoke about, if you remember. So he said, renouncing everything in me. In me means the totality. I even gave you the example of somebody sitting on the traveling in a bullock cart, keeping all his luggage on his shoulders. And the other person asked, why are you keeping everything on your shoulders? Why don't you keep it on the bullock cart? For which he said, already the bullock is pulling me, my luggage, my body. I don't want the bullock to be overburdened. For which that first person said, how ignorant you are, whether you keep it on your head or you keep it on the bullock cart, it is the bullock that is going to carry the whole thing. Exactly like that, we keep our individual ego and think that we are responsible for everything. How stupid and silly it is. Are we behind the earth revolving around the sun? And 7 continuous days, if earth stops revolving around the sun, you know what will happen? What will happen?
Earth will not be in existence.
Nobody will be in existence. Everything will perish. Everything will start freezing, there will be no vegetation. That's it, finished. The whole world will be destroyed. Now, are you behind the earth revolving around the sun? Millions of sperms are ejected and it has to find the egg within that stipulated period, and it finds and you are born. Are you behind it? Are you behind the food being digested and circulated when you are happily watching a movie or sleeping? When you are conceived and you are in the womb, the food digested by your mother is supplied to you as well. Are you behind that? There is a totality. There is something that is taking care of the whole thing. So he says, you have to plan, program, continue acting, act, but as a representative of the total. Never think that you are responsible for everything. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. Always keeping the Same thing mind. I gave you the example of a NRI living abroad, always remembering that he is an Indian, following the rules and regulations of the country, he enjoys the stay there. Similarly, you always remember that you are Atma residing in this body as it were. You are non-resident Atma. Then you continue functioning, giving up all the fever, greed, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, bhaya, kama, krodha, all these things, controlling you act. This is what he said. So when you act in that spirit, renouncing what will come, you leave it to the totality. A child, when it was in the womb, the totality made sure the child gets the food. For our survival, so many things have interestingly designed. You know, when the body intelligence, when at times when you fall sick, for example, when there is some outside germs trying to attack you, some bacteria trying to attack you, the body temperature raises automatically. Why? Basically, the fever is fighting against the bacteria. Body has its own intelligence. So he says, leave it to the totality as far as the food is concerned and you act. That is called karma yoga. So karma yoga is doing your actions, renouncing the fruit in the hands of the totality. Whatever comes as a result of your action, you have the maturity to accept it as a prasad of the Lord. This is called karma yoga. So Arjuna says, once you are praising karma yoga, you are also praising sannyas. Which am I supposed to do? Which is better? Then the Lord answered by saying, both are good. Both will lead to supreme bliss. But of the two, yoga of action is superior. Now, yoga of action is superior means karma phala tyaga is superior. See, karma phala tyaga is superior because karma phala tyaga will only take you to karma tyaga. Karma phala tyaga alone will make you rise above the desires. Only then you will become free from doing such activity. Otherwise mentally you will be involved in such activities. Therefore you, Arjuna, are still with desires. Therefore for you, karma phala tyaga, which is karma yoga, superior. That is one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, if you see, is you have no traffic on the road, early morning, you take the car, drive the car, meet with no accident. Is that superior skills in driving? Or you take the car and drive in peak traffic, still don't meet with any accident and reach the destination safely? So if you see, when you are living in the world, in karma yoga, in the samsara, in the grihastha ashrama, the traffic is huge. In fact, grihastha is the one who balances brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi. All the other three are dependent on him. Isn't it? In fact, the biggest challenge that we will be facing as per thinkers is, slowly, slowly, families are becoming small, right? One child. Then science is making people live longer. So life expectancy is increasing, right? 70, 80, 90, also people are living. So one child, so many people are living who have crossed the age of being able to contribute. They all need to be paid the pension and they need to be taken care of, with a few people working. So they say the problems we'll be facing over a period of time will be these kind of things. So in other words, the grihastha is the one who is contributing. While contributing, remaining in the world, not getting agitated, remaining peaceful is superior, isn't it? You remember that story which I have spoken, I don't know, I have not counted the number of times I have spoken that story. King who was agitated. You remember the story, he went to the Muni in the forest, in the Himalayas. So when he came back and ruled, he was ruling as a caretakers. The Muni is the king, as per the story later on, right?
Yes.
So he's just coming and functioning as a CEO, appointed by the king, who is sitting in the Himalayas, ruling the kingdom, going through all the trials and tribulations, but remaining peaceful. So therefore, Lord Krishna says, Karma Yoga is superior. First, you got to be in the struggle. Actually, in the 26th verse, if you remember of chapter 3, Krishna said, wise man should act in this world without unsettling the minds of the ignorant. This is he said in 25. Don't unsettle the minds of the ignorant who are attached to action. Rather, the wise man should do the actions attractive. And in 26, he said, ignorant people will be attached. Wise man should continue doing it with detachment. How do you function like that? How does a wise man function with detachment?
Because he doesn't have his doership in
it. How? He doesn't have the doership, correct?
He lets go of the result and focuses on the action.
So he just simply does the action, renouncing the fruit. He functions as a representative of the totality, as a part of the total, and accepts the result as a prasad. Therefore, he is able to remain peaceful even in so much trials and tribulations. And that attracts the other person. Otherwise, what will happen? The danger is, if you will lecture to the unsettled, to the ignorant, and unsettle their mind, instead of rising above action, they will give up action. Wise man understands that he is a non-doer. Atma is a non-doer. Understanding that Atma, that he is essentially, which is non-doer, he continues doing action. Whereas, ignorant, when he gets this knowledge, before he gains this knowledge from deeper levels, what he will do is, the chances are, he will drop the action. Anyway, Atma, there is nothing to be done. So that is why he says, why should not unsettle the minds of the ignorant? Most of us, especially in our country, we have misunderstood this philosophy. Actually, that is why they emphasize very much on not giving this knowledge to a non-adhikari. Because the moment you go and tell the fellow, your Atma doesn't do anything, Atma doesn't get affected, Atma doesn't die, the chances are they will misunderstand and they will stop acting. But they will be philosophizing. You understand? There is so much of philosophy in our country, there is very little action. Any Swami giving lecture, you watch in the TV, lakhs and lakhs of people are sitting and listening to lectures. But hardly any file moves. Either the file moves or files get lost. You understand? There is no action. Why there is less activity? That is why Swami Vivekananda got fed up and said, go play football. You must start action. You must go through Rajas and then go to Sattva. Otherwise, the chances are, from Rajas, instead of going to Sattva, you will be into stagnant, into Tamas. So therefore, he very clearly says, Yoga of action is superior in verse number 2. In verse number 3, he said, he should be known as a perpetual sannyasi who neither hates nor desires. He doesn't talk about sannyasi wearing upper robe, not shaving, or fully shaved, eating only one meal a day. Any such description has he given for a sannyasi here? If you see, everything that he talks about is internal. Just notice this. He should be known as a perpetual sannyasi who neither hates nor desires. This is an inner qualification. Free from the pairs of opposites, inner qualification. For Mahabaho, he is easily set free from bondage. In other words, the lifestyle, you have a choice. What is a lifestyle? Either remaining a sannyasi, taking the upper roads, or remaining a sannyasi inside, continuing in grihastha ashrama. when you remain as sannyasi in a grihastha ashrama, your inside, as far as the inside is concerned, all that he said here, you are free from the pairs of opposites. You don't hate anything, you don't crave for anything. You are balanced, that's what it means. You are comfortable in winter, you are comfortable in summer. You don't hate the summer, you don't hate the winter. You don't always crave for 24 degree Celsius, comfortable weather. So you may do things to be 24 degree Celsius to continue your work, but when the temperature increases or decreases, you are not affected mentally. Inside you are cool. For all practical purposes, inside you are a sannyasi, whether you remain in a grihastha ashrama or a sannyasi ashrama. The sannyasi has declared to the world and he has taken up this upper rope which polices him all the time. So if in case, firstly, if you have taken up upper rope, you cannot be found in certain places. I have given you this example also. Somebody who is still in grihastha ashrama, who is not taken up upper rope, but for all practical purposes inside he has become a sannyasi. Very many people may not know that. If he is in a bar, is the world going to talk about it? But if an akarro person is found in a bar, then everybody will start talking about it. He himself will be policed by that akarro. Are you with me? So for certain reasons, some people take the akarro and move to the sannyas ashrama, and that ashrama needs to be respected. And in our system, it is a one-way traffic. You can go from grihastha ashrama to sannyas, but from sannyas you can't come to grihastha.
So this is the basic difference we are talking about, basic difference between karma yoga and sannyas.
So what he is trying to say here is, outside you may be continuously doing action. Inside you can be a sannyasi as long as you don't hate or desire. As long as there is no inside preference. As long as you are balanced in the pairs of opposites. Free from pairs of opposites means, pairs of opposite is there, it doesn't affect you. Dogs are there, they don't bother you. If the dogs are there and don't bother you, and when the dogs are not there also, your mind is not preoccupied with the dogs. But a fellow who is terrified of dogs, even if the dogs are not there, all the time he is thinking in his mind, would there be dog in this house? First he will check, beware of dogs, board. And then he will ask the people, are you having any dogs inside? His mind is preoccupied. Similarly, if you see, our minds are preoccupied by the pairs of opposites. We all want sukha, we don't want dukkha. So, like that, many, many pairs of opposites we are caught up in. Right? So, he says, it really doesn't matter who, whether you wear upper robes or you don't wear upper robes. What matters is, inside have you reached that state of sannyas. And for you to reach that state of sannyas inside, you must continue to act, renouncing the fruit of action. That is what he said in this verse. Let's do verse number 4.
We do our karma, but the karma fell apart.
So when you continue,
you target the darlings of the sannyas.
It will automatically happen. Over a period of time, when you function in the spirit of karma yoga,
it's a combination. It's a combination.
You will become a sannyasi inside. You can decide whether to take akar rope or you can decide not to take akar rope. But if you take, you respect, it has certain disciplines to be followed, you follow. If you do not want to take, it doesn't matter. Our system is not saying that you must necessarily take up upper ropes, but you will necessarily mature.
It's like a reminder.
In other words, all that he is saying is, if you hang on to the results and act, your mind will not become pure. Chitta Shuddhi will not happen. But if you renounce the fruit and act, Chitta Shuddhi will happen. As the Chitta Shuddhi happens, you start becoming a sannyasi. Now, thereafter, you may take upper robe, you may not take upper robe, it really doesn't matter. Krishna is also a sannyasi. In fact, as per our Puranas, Krishna is considered to be a Nitya Sannyasi. He had more than 16,000 wives. Again, these are stories which need to be understood correctly, otherwise we will very good. Then I can also be like Krishna. Nitya Sannyasi is called as. Similarly, Durvasa, sage Durvasa, is called as Nitya Upavasa, who used to constantly eat. But he was called as Nitya Upavasa. Why is it?
He never took the rasin. He ate, but he didn't take the rasin. So it's not.
What do you mean by rasin?
Matlab, he didn't get attached to the.
What is it?
He didn't get complete detachment. So he's.
What is it? When you say Krishna was a Nitya Brahmachari, says Durvasa was a Nitya Upavasi, what do you mean? Krishna was married, as per the stories, more than 16,000 wives. Still he is called as Nitya Brahmachari.
He was above all that.
What is it? What do you mean by above all? This means what?
He did his action, but he went to the bhava of a sannyasi.
What is it?
He
was detached from
blacks
and
bondage
from duality.
He was in his oneness, in his Atma state. Where he was not identifying with the small I of his human form. He was identified all the time in his.
When you say he's not attached, he's above.
Sannyas.
What do you understand? These are words, but we need to understand what is it? What is the difference between a person who is attached and who is not attached?
No desires, free from desires.
What is that?
He knows who he is, that he is Atma. He knows he is Atma.
In fact, his body, mind, intellect, non-dualship. So one word you can say is sannyas.
See. Projector in the movie theater projects whatever film roll is set to roll. Few weeks, maybe comedy movie was set, the film roll was all about comedy. The projector simply projects the comedy. Projector doesn't have any taint of comedy in it as a result of it. Next week, tragedy movie is projected and then action movie comes. When action movie comes, you go and check in the projector whether any area, the comedy residue is there, tragedy residue is there, you will not find it. Action movie comes, it projects. Then again maybe comedy comes. It goes through all the things projecting, but there is no residue. We do not have that. First, you meet somebody and then slowly you start becoming fast friends. Then what happens is, every day the person used to call you or send you SMSs, send you emails or post something on the Facebook, something or the other like that. Now slowly, for some reason, maybe he was busy or whatever, he did not post. Now what happens?
He gets agitated.
He's not called me today. He's not posted anything on the Facebook. You are having the person already residing in your mind now. This is called attachment. I'm giving you this example of Hollywood movie. Go for a party. You see somebody in the Bollywood movie, they show this. Then you come home, you are washing your face, that somebody is on the mirror. Then you are about to eat your food, that somebody is on your plate. They show you all these things, right? What does this mean? That somebody has entered your mind. This is called attachment.
So you don't let someone enter.
So in other words, when they say Krishna is a Nitya Brahmachari, constant celibate. Constant celibate means in his mind that is not there. At the physical level, when he had to contact, go through the experiences, he goes through the experiences. But, uska pehla uske baad nothing. No prefix, no suffix. Clean slate. Now we do not have that ability now. Therefore, we are told to follow certain discipline, and once we have developed that maturity, thereafter we are also Nitya Sanyasi, Nitya Upavasi and all that. But at the moment, if you say, I will also be Nitya Upavasi, you will be finished. You will be overpowered by the totality, the world. That is why certain disciplines, certain things are mentioned for you to become strong. Once you have become strong, once you have become free from the bacterium inside and you are completely immunized, that cannot enter your system, thereafter you can go and play. It will not bother you. That state these people have reached. Until that state you have reached, you need protection. You need discipline. You need brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is a discipline basically. So that is what he is saying here. So that's why I was asking you when you said attached, free from desire. What is all this? What it means is he can be in the contact. Yes, sarvatra anabhisneha tattat prapya shubhashubham navi nandati natveshti tasya pragnya pratishtita. We studied this in the second chapter in the Siddha Pragnya portion. Yes, sarvatra, he is everywhere. Anabhisneha, without attachment. Tattat prapya shubhashubham navi nandati natveshti tasya pragnya pratishtita. He neither hates nor rejoices. Means he will contact. There is no thought lingering before the contact. There is no thought lingering after the contact. When the contact is there, he goes through the experience, then moves. He keeps moving. He is like a river. Our problem attached means stagnate. Like that, so many things are stagnating in us. So the problem is stagnation. We need to develop the ability to keep moving. We do not have that ability to keep moving in life. We stagnate. Everybody starts preoccupying our mind. Every action starts preoccupying our mind. So he says, that way if you act, slowly, slowly your mind will become absolutely free. Then you are a sannyasi. Thereafter nothing can bother you. Now you are fully available to do deeper sadhana and reach the atma. At the moment you are not fully available, isn't it? Such a person who is not fully available, if you give lecture, the chances are he will think that he is risen above and push the desire so powerfully and temporarily start becoming tamasic. There is the danger. Therefore they said, let him do actions and mature, then evolve. Let's chant verse number 4. Sankhya yoga uprithak bhalaha, Sankhya yoga uprithak bhalaha, pravadantina panditaha, pravadantina panditaha, ekam apyastita samyak, ekam apyastita samyak, ubhayor vindate phalam, ubhayor vindate phalam, Sankhya yoga uprithak bhalaha, pravadantina panditaha, ekam apyastita samyak, ubhayor vindate phalam. Children, not wise, speak of Sankhya and Yoga as different. He who is duly established in one obtains the fruit of both. In other words, Balaha, you will find this word Balaha used very often in the scriptures. Balaha means children. For a person who is evolved, they don't criticize us. They don't look at us as stupid fellows. They look at us as children. Not yet got the knowledge. So children, Bala. So wise people, they, from their vision, all of us are children. We may be grown ups. We may be even above 60. But as long as we are ignorant, then they look at us as children. Ignorant people. Ignorant people, children, not the wise. who has wisdom, speak of Sankhya and Yoga as different. They clearly understand Sankhya and Yoga are one and the same. Because when you do karma phala tyaga, only then you rise to the level of karma tyaga. They are not different. Both bring you the same fruit of chitta shuddhi and atmagyan. Therefore, there is no question of them looking at both as different. They clearly see there are two lifestyles. In the lifestyle of grihastha ashrama, karma is also to be done, jnanam is also taken in, but jnanam taking in will be for less period of time, karma will be more in grihastha ashrama. But when you are doing sannyasa ashrama, when you are in sannyasa ashrama, there also you will be doing karma, your karma may be different from the grihastha, but they also do karma, but there they take in more of knowledge. Are you with me? That is all. You are in both the ashrama dharma, you are not free from karma yoga, you are not free from jnana yoga. Jnana yoga and karma yoga are common to both. That should be clear. The predominance may be different. In grihastha ashrama, it is karma pradana ashrama. In sannyasa ashrama, it is jnana pradana ashrama. Both will lead you to the absolute result. This is all he is saying. This, if you understand, you will not unnecessarily ask this question, Arjuna. Should I have to go through this? You have to go through LKG, then middle school, elementary school, middle school, high school, higher secondary, graduation, post graduation, then go to PhD. You can't directly go to PhD. So, therefore, this question itself will not arise. If the question arises, means you have not understood the thought flow behind it. Next verse.
Yat-sankhyai-prapyate-sthanam, tad-yogai-rapi-gamyate, ekam-sankhyam-cha-yogam-cha, yapashyati-sapashyati, yat-sankhyai-prapyate-sthanam, tad-yogai-rapi-gamyate, ekam-sankhyam cha yogam cha yapashyati sapashyati yapashyati sapashyati. It's a beautiful construction. Whoever sees it, sees it. I do not know how to explain this to you. Whoever sees it, sees it. You have the vision to see it, you see it. I don't know how to make you see. The teacher is explaining in the class. Some children get the concept faster. As soon as he started explaining, they got it. Some children take little time, but they also get it after a while. Some children take more time, that's all. You understand? So, whoever sees it, sees it. That state which is reached by the Sankhyas is reached by the yogis also. There is no difference. Action will lead to renunciation, and renunciation will lead to meditation, and meditation will lead you to realization. There was a quotation given by Swamiji in Academy once. I'm trying to recollect that. Service, comma, not love, service, comma, not labor purifies. Service, comma, not labor purifies. Love, comma, not attachment purifies. Wisdom, comma, not knowledge purifies.
purified mind takes to meditation, meditation leads to realization. This is how it proceeds. If you have the labor mentality means I have to do, etc., you will not purify yourself. What will I get expecting? If you do service, whatever actions you do, if you do it as a karma yoga, as service, you get purified. So service, comma, not labor purifies. Love, comma, not attachment purifies. It is love that purifies, not attachment. What is the difference between love and attachment? What is attachment? What is love?
Attachment is holding on. Love is to let go. Let go in the sense...
no conditions.
Yeah.
Love is a feeling of oneness. Attachment is selfish love. Preferential. Love is universal. In love there is no condition. There is total acceptance. In attachment there are conditions. As long as the other person caters to me, either physical level, emotional level or intellectual level, directly or indirectly, I continue to claim that I love the person. The moment that contribution goes away, then I say, I don't love him. In fact, in attachment, it is self-love. I have been loving myself only. You say, I love my daughter so much. But if your daughter says, I want to marry somebody from some other caste, honor killing. Basically, what you are doing is, you love yourself only. You don't love your daughter. The mind is, as long as your daughter fulfills certain conditions, you say, I love her. Then it is attachment. Love is measured by the sacrifice that you are ready to do for it. What is the highest sacrifice you can do?
Dying.
Dying is not the highest.
Last time we were talking about dying.
Yeah.
You want something so badly, you are willing to die for it.
What do you mean by willing to die? Philosophical death, which is death of ego. Physical death is not that difficult. Sometimes you are depressed to do it. Compared to the death of ego. See, that is love. Love means sacrifice. You are ready to die for the other. Means give yourself away. Giving yourself away means your ego. That is love. Like, in Daffodils, William Wordsworth says, I wanted lonely as a cloud. Why as a cloud?
It's
clouds, it wanders, and in wandering, it gives itself away. It gives as itself as rain. And in the bargain, it gives itself away. That is the highest sacrifice. You understand? So, love is basically the expression of state of consciousness. The more conscious you become, the more loving you will be in your relationships, in your contacts. It's an expression of the divinity within, the kindling of consciousness within, as a result of which you have no barricade of ego in between, differentiating between you and the other. That is love. Whereas in the attachment, ego is very thick. Are you with me? So it is love that purifies, not attachment. In attachment there is no sacrifice. In attachment there is business. I continue pleasing the other because the other continues to please me. So love purifies, not attachment. Then wisdom purifies, not knowledge. Simply storing your head with so much of information, you become more burdened. Rather, you become free when it has been digested. You carry your tiffin box to the office, it is heavy. The same food you eat, you digested it. You are light because that has been digested. Before, when it was not digested, it was heavy. Now when it is digested, it is light. Similarly, when that information taken in needs to be digested. Once a week, why are we meeting? The time given is for you to digest. But if you don't do your daily study and reflections, question what we are studying, think, reflect on it, you are not going to digest the material. Simply gathering information will not purify you. You will be stuffing yourself with more information and start getting confused and burdened. And a lot of people have the habit of reading so many books and try to compare and contrast what this Swami is saying, what that Swami is saying, what that book is saying. You get finally so clouded. You say, my God, I was better off before I started Bhagavad Gita class. Definitely. Because you were interested in stuffing yourself with more from outside rather than digesting. So therefore he says, give importance to service, give importance to love, give importance to wisdom, not to information, not to labor, not to attachment. Then if you, which is nothing but karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, through this you purify. And a purified mind takes to meditation. And meditation leads you to self-realization. This is how you should proceed.
What is the last line you said, meditation?
What? Meditation leads you to realization, self-realization, atma jnana.
So the purified mind will meditate and meditation leads you to
self-realization. Exactly. That is why we say, first emphasis should be in purifying, not in meditating. And that doesn't mean you should not meditate. What we mean is, do the sadhana, make your life a sadhana. Throughout the day, you are purifying and you are also doing meditation. But the emphasis is in purifying. Then your meditation will be better. All sorts of sense indulgence you will do. Then you will go and sit in meditation. Everybody will be thinking you are meditating, but mentally you will be indulging on the senses only. How can your mind be able to relax when you are in meditation? It can't. That is why we say sadhana. So here also he is saying, that state which is reached by sankhyas is reached by yogis also. It's a question of purifying, absolute purification of ego's realization. Karma yoga purifies you. Further purification is by the sannyasa yoga. Both are basically giving you the same result of purification. So where is the difference between the two? Idea is finally to dissolve the ego. Even the institution of marriage in the grihastha is for what? What is the need for it? In the case of animals, they just function as a part of the total. Naturally they are programmed that way. Like Jai Krishnamurti says, animals are unconsciously perfect. Human beings are consciously imperfect, he says. What is this imperfection that he is talking about? Whatever is their duty, they keep on doing it. They are not conscious of it, they do it. Fish will keep on cleaning the pond. It will eat the dirt from the pond for its survival and it keeps on cleaning the pond. It does its duty. It doesn't compare itself with some other fish, some other animal, nothing. Just continues doing. But a human being, we compare. And that person is getting double salary. I'm only getting this much. So I must start acting like that. Are you with me? It is a human being who does all this nonsense. So the ego needs to be dissolved. So therefore, in the one of the things that the humans over a period of time when they evolved, they have designed this institution called marriage to dissolve over a period of time the ego. But the very foundation of marriage today is on ego. Even the marriage celebration is so much of ego. To show that how much I can spend. The very institute, see, everything is like that. Initially it was conceptualized for some reason. But over a period of time, the very reason for which it was conceptualized, it goes against it. Many things are like this. Instead of the schemes benefiting the public, it starts swindling from the public. Many times it happens, isn't it? You have a system to safeguard you, but the very system starts swindling you. Then what happens? You try to find security, therefore you have some security employed. But now the very security starts shooting you, what will you do? So it's exactly like that. The very reason, what is the fact? Did you ever think, why do we require marriage? What is the need for a marriage? There are a few reasons for marriage. Ultimately, the foundation is to dissolve the ego and increase the oneness. But slowly, slowly, how much I will be able to benefit from the other. So it is basically trying to find more security for the ego. It has become like that. Then it is not, then it becomes bondage. Then it starts becoming a burden. Then you find, my God, why did I get into this? Because instead of dissolving the ego, you start strengthening it. So exactly like that he is saying, idea of everything is finally to purify. Remember, the Mahatmas, the Vedantins are telling us, the Upanishadic masters are only telling us that everybody essentially is divine. His divinity or her divinity is covered by the desires, by the ego, by the ignorance. When this covering is removed, divinity surfaces. You don't have to do something. You are already divine. Remove the cover. Discover. It is discovering the truth. You are not going to make yourself achieve something. There is nothing to be achieved. You are already that. If you are already that, there is nothing to be achieved. You are just ignorant. That ignorance needs to be removed. So karma yoga is also method to purify you. Sankhya is also method to purify. End of the day, the rishis wanted us to live our life purifying ourselves so that we all start seeing the divinity within. So life should be a purifying journey, not accumulating more dirt. When we do not know the art of living, we start accumulating more dirt. When we know the art of living, we start purifying ourselves more. That is all the difference. Art of living, when you know, it doesn't mean you will stop contacting. But while contacting, you don't gather more dirt. If you do not know the art, then you will be running away from contacts, gathering more dirt, or indulging in contacts, gathering more dirts. But if you know more dirt, if you know how to contact, then contacting, you will not gather any dirt. That's the idea. So therefore, both are going to take you that state only. Whoever sees it, sees it. So Krishna says, Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati. I don't know how to make you see Arjuna. I elaborated it on the little bit in the second chapter, then in the third chapter, then in the fourth chapter. Now also I'm saying, I don't know how to make you see. Whoever sees it, sees it. Now once you understand like this, would you want to escape thereafter? That is why when you read Bhagavad Gita, a lot of people without understanding Bhagavad Gita, like Shakespeare says, you call a dog mad and kill it. Don't call a dog mad and kill it, he says. We say Bhagavad Gita will make you become an escapist. Once you start reading Bhagavad Gita, you will become disinterested in the world. This is really unfortunate. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wanted to escape. Krishna told him, you cannot escape. If you really understand the Gita, how can you become an escapist? Would you be want to become free from karma yoga? You will in fact want to engage yourself more into action. It will induce you more into contribution. It will not take you towards escapism at all. You will start becoming an asset to yourself and to the society. You cannot be a liability to the society. A person who has understood this, his self-esteem, his self-respect, his self-confidence, his self-reliance, his self-control, everything will increase. As a result of which, he will be thinking in terms of contributing to the society. He will never become an escapist. Even when he takes the lifestyle of a sannyas, they will all be contributing. Listen to the lectures of Swami Vivekananda. Listen to the lectures of Swami Ramtirtha. How much he contributes. When Swami Ramtirtha goes to America, he speaks to Americans and he says, our Indians are very loyal people. They have been unfortunately subjected to slavery for many, many years. You give them education here in this country, right? And make them rise beyond their slavery. And take the best from India and help yourselves. He talks all those things, Ramtirtha, when he goes to America. He says, Indians, don't stagnate in your country. Don't think it is a great virtue to be born and brought up and dying in your country. Move. What best is there in your country, you propagate it to the others. What best is there in the other countries, you take in and give it back to your country. Benefit out of it. All these Mahatmas, in their own way, they have been contributing. Either through lectures, or through actions, or through writing books. Various ways, they will never sit idle. In thought, word and deed, they are continuously contributing. The way they contribute may be different. The sannyasi ashrama, when a person is taken up, he might not be going to work, but he is also contributing in different ways. The kind of contribution that Swami Chinmayanandaji has done is incredible. How many missions he has found in different places, and that mission in every place they have Balavihar, spreading the culture at a very young age. The kind of contribution that sannyasis do, the grihasthas do, the moment you are initiated into the knowledge of Gita, you will stop thinking about what I can get from the society. You will be purified. The moment you are purified, you will be thinking in terms of what I can give, what I can do. That is what he says. Both will purify. Both will set you free. There is no difference, Arjuna. Why are you again and again asking, should I do karma yoga or should I do sannyas? If you really understand, you won't be asking this question. This only shows that you have not understood. So he continues to explain it in detail, little more. For us, we need to become very clear. Once I become clear, will I ask, why should I act? Your question thereafter will not be, why should I act? Your question thereafter will be, how should I act? From tamasic state of why I should act, you will start asking, how can I act? How I can be a person who will not be a liability, rather I be an asset. You will not put yourself in a state of taking if you are purified. If you are putting yourself in a position of taking, means you are still suffering from ignorance. Healthy condition. Unhealthy will be stagnation, is nothing but stagnation. Healthy is nothing but contribution. Remember this. So therefore he says, there is no difference. Only children will think that there is difference, Arjuna. That very same state which karma yoga will lead you to, Sankhya yoga also takes you. So don't ever think that this is going to take you, some people say it will take us faster. Sannyas will take you faster. How can it take you faster? If you are somebody who has to be in the grihastha ashrama, you happen to take up sannyasa ashrama, not only it will not forget about taking you faster, it will never take you, because you will be such a frustrated fellow there. Isn't it? Your desires are different. You want to be in the world, but you are sitting in the sannyasa ashrama, you will be frustrated. Similarly, if somebody who used to be in the sannyasa ashrama happens to be in the grihastha ashrama, he will be frustrated, he will frustrate the others also. So there is no need to compare the two. Firstly, this comparison is nonsense. Understand, continue doing karma yoga. After that, you want to take up sannyas, you decide. But there is no need to take up sannyas lifestyle. You want to take? No hassle. If you take, respect the disciplines of that dharma. But you can continue to be a grihastha, being a sannyasi within. This is the message Krishna has given so far. The rest of the verses we will see next week.
पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.